Text 44 in chapter 8. 하리바. 거리다. 수타 우바차.
수타 우바차.
브리타야.
브리타야.
이탐.
이탐.
칼라파다히.
칼라파다히.
브리타예 탕 칼라파다히.
브리타예 탕 칼라파다히.
파리누타.
파리누타.
아킬라.
아킬라.
우다야하.
우다야하.
파리누타 킬로다야하.
파리누타 킬로다야하.
만담.
자하사
vaikuntaha mandang jahasa vaikunto
mandang jahasa vaikunto
mohayan
iva
mayaya
mohayan
iva mayaya
sutta
uvacha
prittayetam kalapadahi
Parinuta kilodayaha
Parinuta kilodayaha
Mandang jahasa vaikunto
Mandang jahasa vaikunto
Mohayan iva mayaya
Mohayan iva mayaya
Sutta uvacha
Sutta uvacha
Prittayetam kalapadai
Prittayetam kalapadai
Parinuta kilodayaha Mandang jahasa vaikunto
Mandang jahasa vaikunto
Mohayan iva mayaya
Mohayan iva mayaya
Sutta uvacha
Sutta uvacha
Prithayetam kalapadai
Prithayetam kalapadai
Parinuta kilodayaha
Parinuta kilodayaha
Mandang jahasa vaikunto
Mandang jahasa vaikunto
Mohayan iva mayaya
Sutta uvacha Prittayetam kalapadai Parinuta kilodayaha Mandang jahasa vaikunto Mohayan iva mayaya Sutta uvacha Prittayetam kalapadai Parinuta kilodayaha Mandang jahasa vaikunto Mohayan iva mayaya Prithayetam kalapadai Parinuta kilodayaha Mandang jahasa vaikunto Mohayan iva mayaya Sutta uvacha Prithayetam kalapadai Parinuta kilodayaha Mandang jahasa vaikunto
Mohayan
iva mayaya
Anyone else?
Sutta uvacha Prithayetam kalapadai Parinuta kilodayaha Mandang jahasa vaikunto Mohayan iva mayaya Word for words Sutta uvacha
Sutta
said
Prithaya
By Pritha
Kunti
Itam
this
Kalapadahi
by chosen words
Parinuta
being worshipped
Akila
universal
Udayaha
glories
Mandam
mildly
Jahasa
smiled
Vaikuntaha
the Lord
Mohayan
captivating
Eva,
like
Mayaya,
by his mystic power.
Translation. Sutta Goswami said,
Let me just read it once through, and then we'll do it back and forth. Sutta Goswami said, "The Lord, thus hearing the prayers of Kunti Devi, composed in choice words for his glorification, mildly smiled. That smile was as enchanting as his mystic power." Please repeat. Sutta Goswami said, "The Lord, thus hearing the prayers of Kunti Devi, composed in choice words for his glorification,
mildly smiled.
That smile was as enchanting as his mystic power." Purport by Srila Prabhupada. Anything that is enchanting in the world is said to be a representation of the Lord. The conditioned souls who are engaged in trying to lord it over the material world are also enchanted by his mystic powers. But his devotees are enchanted in a different way by the glories of the Lord, and his merciful blessings are upon them. His energy is displayed in different ways as electrical energy works in manifold capacities. Srimati Kunti Devi has prayed to the Lord just to enunciate a fragment of his glories. All his devotees worship him in that way by chosen words, and therefore the Lord is known as Uttama Shloka. No amount of chosen words is sufficient to enumerate the Lord's glory, and yet he is satisfied by such prayers, as the father is satisfied even by the broken linguistic attempts of the growing child. The word Maya is used both in the sense of delusion and mercy. Herein, the word Maya is used in the sense of the Lord's mercy upon Kunti Devi. Bandeham Sri Guru Sri Yuta Padakamalam Sri Gurun Vaishnavamsha Sri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunathanvitam Tamsachivam Sadvaitam Sabatutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Sri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shivishakanvitamsha Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prashtaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swaminiti Namine Namaste Saraswate Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Sunyavadi Paschatyate Shatarine Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prashtaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Ki Namine Shri Varshabhanavi Devi Daitaya Kripadhaye Krishna Sambandha Vijnana Daine Prabhave Namaha Madhurya Ujvala Premadhyaya Shri Rupanuga Bhaktida Shri Gaura Karuna Shakti Vigrahaya Namostate Namaste Gauravani Shri Murtaye Dinatarine Rupanuga Virudhapa Siddhanta Dvantaharine Namo Gaura Kishoraya Sakshad Vairagya Murtaye Vipralambhara Sambhode Badambu Jayate Namaha Namo Bhakti Vinodaya Sachidananda Namine Gaura Shakti Swarupaya Rupanu Gavarayate Gaura Avir Bhava Bhumestvang Nirdeshta Sajjana Priyaha Vaishnava Sarva Bhavamak Shri Jagannathayate Namaha Vancha kalpatarubhyascha kripa sindubhya evacha patitanam pavanebhyo vaishnavebhyo namo namaha Mahavadanyaya krishna prema pradayate krishnaya krishna chaitanya namne gauratvishe namaha pancha tattvatmakam krishnam bhaktarupa swarupakam bhaktavataram bhaktakyam namami bhaktashaktikam He Krishna Kuruna Sindho Dinabandho Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Jayatang Suratau Pangor Mama Manda Mater Gati Matsarva Svapadam Bhojo Radha Madana Mohano Divya Drindaranya Kalpadrumadha Shri Madratnagara Singhasanastau Shri Madradha Shri Lagovinda Devau Prashtali Bhiksevya Mano Smarami Shri Manrasara Sarambhi Vangshi Vatatatak Stitaha Karshan Venu Swanayar Gopir Gopi Natak Shriyestunaha Tapta Kanchana Gorangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vrindaye Tulsi Devyaye Priyaye Keshavasya Cha Krishna Bhakti Prade Devi Satyavachanamo Namaha Shri Nishringha Jaya Nishringha Jaya Jaya Nishringha Prahladesha Jaya Padma Mukha Padma Bringa Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadha Shri Vasudevi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare 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 Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare 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 Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. So in this verse, this is the first verse after Queen Kunti. We've been reading for many, many weeks now beautiful prayers of Kunti Devi. And now she's completed her prayers. And Suta Goswami is describing the reaction of Lord Krishna. Hare Krishna. And so it's described in the verse here that after he heard the prayers, Lord Krishna mildly smiled. And his smile was as enchanting as his mystic power. Srila Prabhupada describes in the purport that the conditioned souls are also enchanted by the Lord's mystic power. But devotees are enchanted in a different way by the glories of the Lord. And his merciful blessings are upon the devotees. So that comparison is being made there in the verse, that the smile of Krishna is very enchanting to the devotees. Anything in the world that's enchanting is understood to be a representation of Krishna. We were talking about that earlier, that anything powerful, like the demigods, can be understood as a representation of Krishna. Anything beautiful, anything wonderful, anything enchanting, anything... But anyway, Krishna is responding to this beautiful prayers by his enchanting smile, and that he's exchanging that love with his devotee. He's been pleased by these prayers. And so Prabhupada says that Krishna's energy is displayed in different ways as electrical energy works in manifold capacities. So Krishna, we were talking about that earlier, that Krishna's energy, Krishna's the supreme energetic, and he has these energies. For those who are trying to turn their backs on him and become bewildered, he allows his energy to work in one way for them. And for those who want to turn to Krishna and engage in devotional service, then it's also Krishna's energy, but it can be used. Just like electrical power can be used to heat or to refrigerate. It can be used in both capacities. So Srila Prabhupada talks about how Kunti Devi is praying to the Lord. This is important. He says all devotees worship him in that way, by chosen words. We have to learn to pray to the Lord. And we can see, as we read the Bhagavatam, practically there's as much prayer as there is discussion. Even the way people discuss with each other, they first start off by glorifying them and describing the glories and saying things, explaining what's what, you know, what the three modes of material nature are, how the Lord is the source of everything, or how in the beginning he created everything. You know, before even talking, they make some prayer. And there are so many prayers, right? How many we can think of? The prayers of the Vedas personified, the prayers of that Dhruva Maharaj made when he saw Krishna and he felt ashamed of having wanted something material. The prayers of Gajendra, out of the different processes of devotional service, one of them, Vandanam, is to offer these choice poetic prayers to the Lord. And, you know, the nine processes of devotional service, we think that some devotees are examples of attaining perfection by one or another process. And Gajendra is often cited as an example of someone attaining perfection simply by offering choice prayers to the Lord. When he was being attacked by the crocodile, he remembered this stotram that he had learned in his previous life as a sage, and he offered a lotus flower with his trunk. I mean, even the power to make prayers to Krishna comes from Krishna himself. Just like Dhruva Maharaj was a small child, So he wanted to offer prayers, but he was only 5 years old. Then Krishna touched him with his conch shell, and he was able to offer the prayers. And he offered the beautiful prayers. Daksha offered prayers. Indra offered prayers. After he attacked Govardhan Hill, Indra then offered prayers when he felt contrite about it, when he wanted to get blessings. Lord Brahma offered prayers after he was bewildered. He offered prayers. The demigods offered prayers before Krishna appears. And Lord Shiva offered many different prayers in the Bhagavatam. The Bhagavatam is full of these prayers. And other Puranas also, like we sing that song, Damodar Ashtakam from Satyavrata Muni, offering beautiful prayers to Krishna in his form of when he's young, being chastised by his mother. So we have to learn to offer prayers. We have to learn to pray to Krishna. Of course, not all of us can compose beautiful Sanskrit poetry, but if we're sincere and humbly try to describe the Lord's glories try to beg to be engaged in his devotional service, the Lord doesn't really need anything, right? We always say that. We can cook the nicest preparations for him that's possible for us, but compared to what they're cooking in Swargaloka for Krishna, you know, how can we compare? But what he accepts is the love. And if we can try to pray sincerely to Krishna, even when we chant Hare Krishna, of course, that's also kirtanam, or we do japa, but Prabhupada instructs us to pray, to chant in the mood of a child crying for its mother. So in that way, it's a kind of prayer, the chanting of Hare Krishna. Sometimes Prabhupada translates, it means, O Lord, O energy of the Lord, please engage me in your loving service. So that's a simple, the most simple prayer. We have to know what to pray for. We should be careful. The devotees, in the second canto it says, Akama sarvakamo va moksha kama udharati tivrena bhakti yogena yajeta purushang param. After describing so many, we were talking about demigod worship earlier today. After describing so many different kinds of demigods that people can worship for different material benedictions, then Shukadeva Goswami concludes to Parikshit Maharaj that whether you have all desires or no desires, or you desire liberation, that you should worship the Supreme Person with great determination. But we don't want to really worship with material desires, because we understand that material things aren't good for us. In fact, it's one of the reasons sometimes people worship demigods. They're more easily pleased sometimes, or they're more willing to give you things that might not be good for you. You don't know what's in your best interest. And so you might think, oh, I'm having these problems just because I don't have enough money. And if I had more money, then I would resolve my problems. But if you had more money, it doesn't. In fact, there are psychologists that specialize in counseling people who've come into a great deal of money, because it actually causes them some mental disruption to have too much money and you're still not satisfied, and what, you know, you thought that if you got this you'd be satisfied. People become very depressed. But not just that they become depressed, but it may distract you also. You may be intoxicated, you become famous, powerful, wealthy, and it may distract you from feelingly praying to Krishna in love. So Krishna is the best person to approach, right? Those pious people who are desiring wealth or in distress, they also approach Krishna. But Krishna, he takes away all that's not good for them. He gives them the highest thing. We all know the story of Sanatan Goswami. I'll say it very quickly because it's such a wonderful story. One of the best skits we put on in Sunday feasts and things, the children do this. But someone got a benediction, I think, from Lord Shiva. It's in the fourth canto, in a purport by Prabhupada, that he should go approach Sanatan Goswami to get the most valuable thing. So he went to Sanatan Goswami and said, you know, dear Goswami, I've been sent to you because I was told that you could give me the most valuable thing. So Sanatan Goswami said, oh yes, if you go over there in the garbage heap, you'll find a stone there. Go bring me that stone. He gives it to him. He says, this is actually a touchstone. You can make any quantity of gold with this stone, as much as you want. So the person thought, oh, that's the most valuable thing, and he started taking it away. But then he thought to himself, if it's so valuable, if it's the most valuable thing, why would Sanatana Goswami keep it in the garbage? So he came back and he said, you know, Gosai, why were you keeping it in the garbage if it's really the most valuable thing? So then he said, now you're intelligent, now you've understood, it's not really the most valuable thing. Now I'll give you the most valuable thing if you're prepared to accept, if you're really prepared to accept it. He said, yes, I am. Okay, then first you take the touchstone that can give you all the gold in the world. Take it and throw it in the middle of the Jamuna where you'll never be able to recover it again. Then you come back and I'll give you something. So he did that and he came back, and then Sanat Goswami instructed him in chanting the holy name, Hare Krishna mantra, because that's the most valuable thing. Sometimes people pray. There's some stories. There was one story of a washerwoman, and she had tons of load, or maybe she was carrying firewood, I don't remember. Someone carrying some heavy burden, carrying it, and tripped and lost, and the load fell all over the ground, and you know, now they had to get it, gather it back up. So she said, you know, very sincerely, you know, oh Lord, oh God, please, you know, help me. So the Lord appeared. He said, what would you like? She said, I'll give you anything. She said, oh, please put this burden back on my shoulders. So that's like the person who's praying for material things. We're asking for more time in material world, more lifetime. There's another similar story Prabhupada tells of a man who was dragging a barge along the river, and his feet were getting hurt by walking over stones and sticks and things like that. And then somehow or another he prayed and the Lord came to answer his prayers. And he said, I want that the path along the river be very smooth, like covered with pillows, so that I won't hurt my feet when I walk. But still he's just pulling this barge, you know. So what are we really doing? So devotees should pray to be, like we can take an example from Queen Kunti of how she's praying that in the last verse, in the previous next to last verse, she prays that her attraction is constantly drawn to Krishna without being diverted to anyone else. And she's also praying that Krishna is always be present with her family. Even if calamities come, if that brings Krishna to her family, she's willing to accept that. She's describing the glories of Krishna and what he means to her and her family, but she's praying for that. She can be engaged in devotional service because she knows what's valuable and what isn't valuable. There's a story. We were talking earlier about Guru Kripa, who asked to pray if he could worship Ganesh. There's a story that Vaishyasika told me. I may have told it before you, so if you already heard it, I apologize. Guru Kripa was leading a Sankirtan party that Vaishyasika and Satyadev were both on in the... I guess the early 70s. And they went to Japan, but they were also in Hawaii and some different places, also in the United States. But one time they were in Mayapur and they were getting ready, they were getting a van. And Guru Kripa is a colorful personality. He's very close to Vaishyasika. I don't know him very well, but he was in the Vietnam War. He's a kind of very rough, with a broken nose and a kind of a like he talks like a boxer or something, you know, like a rough guy, you know, not like a gentleman. He doesn't care for people putting on airs. He doesn't care for snobs, and you know, he's a very proletarian kind of guy. But he's greatly attached to Srila Prabhupada and his service. And so he had this group of guys, brahmacharis, and he was a sannyasi. He had this group of brahmacharis, and they were going to go on some preaching mission throughout India, and they were getting this van, and everything went wrong. You know, there was a strike, and the roads couldn't get the van through, and then the van came and it was broken, and you couldn't get the part to fix it, and there were, you know, different things were happening. Then it started raining too much, or it didn't rain. I don't know. But they couldn't seem to get going. So he gathered the people around. He said, "Is somebody praying for something?" And, and one of the boys said, "Oh, Maharaj, I've been praying for purification." And Guru Kripa said, "Idiot, pray for bhakti." You know. So we should be careful what we pray for, because we'll get it. You know, praying for purification, it doesn't sound very bad. But we were talking before about how Ganesh keeps the Lord's lotus feet on his trunk, on his tusks, to get empowered to do his service. So we all have our service to do, and we can pray to the Lord that, you know, to help us do our service correctly, and to also do it attentively and do it in the proper mood. But we also, you know, we have something to do to please Srila Prabhupada, some mission, something we're engaged in. We have to sell books, or we have to cook. We want to make it come out nicely, so we can pray for those things. But if we pray that we become rich, or we become, you know, get promoted in our job or something like that, it may not, you know, they say, be careful what you wish for, you might get it. You know, it may not be helpful to us. So our goal should always be bhakti, so we can, if we can learn to feelingly. And we see these devotees like Dhruva Maharaj, he had engaged in austerities with a material desire. He was very determined. He's Dhruv. He's unshakable, unmovable. And he was very determined to, because he was a child and he was insulted, and he wanted to get a kingdom better than, bigger than his father, bigger than even his grandfather, who was Lord Brahma. So he wanted something, you know, impossible, a kingdom bigger than the whole universe. So then he practiced his austerities under the instructions of Narada Muni. He chanted Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. And Lord Vishnu appeared in front of him, and at that time in his prayers he realized that it had been a mistake for him to want something material, something that wasn't connected to Krishna. He wanted the big kingdom to show them he'd be bigger than his father. You know, his father had insulted him, and he. If you read those prayers, he at one point prays that that he feels like he was asking for broken glass when he could get the jewel of devotional service instead. And then, nevertheless, Krishna made him become a king and rule for a long time, and then gave him a kingdom, the transcendental Vaikuntha planet within the material universe of Shvetadvipa is Dhruva's planet, the north star. All the other stars, they circumambulate in the northern hemisphere, you can see. But he was ashamed that he had wanted something material. He realized when he got to see Krishna and that there's nothing better than devotional service, and that's all he wanted. Prahlad Maharaj, we have the famous prayers after Nrisimhadev was so angry, and he had killed Hiranyakashipu and then his army, and then all the demigods were afraid. You know, even Lakshmi was afraid to approach him in that mood, but they pushed Prahlad Maharaj forward to pacify him by offering prayers. And in those prayers, again, he didn't want anything. And Nrisimhadev asked him to take a boon. And he said, you know, why would I take a boon? That would be like as if my service to you was motivated, as if I wanted to do business with you, like a Hare Krishna, like a businessman wanting to, I'm giving something in exchange for something else. That's not the way of love. That in the marketplace, people always give something, and sometimes they feign friendship and affection, but it's always, the basis is, you know, I'll give you something and I'll get something else, and so we can, and I can improve my situation by trading like this. So that's not the way of spontaneous love. When people love each other, then they give without expectation of return. The real love, the pure original love, the only real love is the devotional service to Krishna. And the devotees, they love Krishna without any expectation of return. And then they can offer these beautiful prayers like the Damodar Ashtakam we pray. that he's saying, I only want these pastimes to appear in my mind. And the millions of opulences are no use to me. I want to see you in this beautiful form in your childhood pastimes in Vrindavan. So that kind of prayer, we should learn to pray. We can pray sincerely. And we should also learn these choice prayers that are offered by the devotees. That's the Lord is called Uttama Shloka because he's praised in these beautiful, well-composed prayers that explain things properly. And by learning those prayers, then we can memorize them, like the prayers of Queen Kunti. I know that Srivas and Malini were learning all of the prayers of Queen Kunti to recite them. You know, we can learn verses, learn chapters. In this temple, more than other temples, part of our program is we recite things. Lord Brahma made the Brahma Samhita, this beautiful hymn that we recite every Saturday morning. That's a prayer, you know, where he's describing Krishna and his transcendental abode and all these things and worship. I worship that, Govinda. So this is a wonderful prayer, these kind of prayers we can recollect. And by remembering them, we're also, you know, we also learn about Krishna's glories. And it's also a form of devotional service. That by opening up our heart and praising Krishna is a form of devotional service. In the 11th chapter, when Krishna appears in the universal form, Arjuna offers many, many prayers. He has a long speech there. Most of the Bhagavad Gita is Krishna talking. And Arjuna asks a question here or there, you know. But there are some places where he makes four or five shlokas together in the 10th chapter and different things. But in the 11th chapter, he goes on for like 20 verses and go in two sections. So there's these prayers. We see that what are devotees doing? One of the things they're often doing is offering prayers. It's one of the activities of pure devotees in devotional service. So Prabhupada makes the point that no amount of chosen words is sufficient to enumerate the Lord's glory. Once again, even these beautiful poems, you know, made in the service of the Lord, glorifying the Lord's activities, he's so glorious that, you know, even the greatest poets can't properly, like Ananta Sesha is chanting his glories with his thousand heads and still never comes to the end of them. So it's the same idea that we were saying, what can we cook for the Lord that would really be something that's better than he can get somewhere else? But it's the mood, and that's an exchange of love is there. When someone praises, you know, his father, when a little child praises his father, even if he can't speak very well and so forth, that the example is given here, that there's that... there's that exchange, emotional exchange, loving exchange, and that's what's going on when the devotees are praying to Krishna, and Krishna's showing how he's pleased by his mild smile. He's pleased by the prayers of Kunti Devi. Just like the father is satisfied even by broken linguistic attempts. Of course, Kunti Devi's prayers are wonderful, you know, very, they express... many very deep and profound insights into devotional service and into the Lord himself. But even that, for Krishna, nothing can fully enumerate his glory. But yet, when it's offered in pure devotional service, then it's transcendental and it's pleasing to him because what he really accepts is the love. And then Prabhupada, in the end of the purport, he says, that when it says mayaya here, he's using the word maya in the sense of the Lord's mercy on Kunti Devi. That goes back to the beginning where he says that everyone is enchanted, even conditioned souls are enchanted by the Lord's mystic power. But his devotees are enchanted in a different way by the glories of the Lord, and his merciful blessings are upon them. That's an interesting sentence. Devotees are enchanted by the different qualities of the Lord, his beauty, his smile, his mild smile, the sound of his voice, the sound of his flute, whereas materialistic people are, you know, they're excited when they see he does something, some miracles, you know. And that's also wonderful. But the devotees have this special way of being enchanted by him. And he mercifully blesses them. So, any comments, questions, discussion? Yes.
You have the Gajendra prayers where you have the crocodile and then he's offering prayers. The understanding of those prayers, how does it practically help us to understand those prayers? How does it practically help us?
Well, I mean, there's two kinds of understanding. One thing is that we get in the prayers, there's a description of, analysis of the world and how and the process of how people become liberated and the process of how they become covered over the process of the modes of nature. And that kind of knowledge is a byproduct of devotional service. Vasudeva Bhagavati Bhakti Yoga Prayojitaha Janayatyashu Vairagyang Gyanang Chayadahaitakam. That devotees, by performing devotional service, they also get knowledge and detachment. And by getting knowledge, one becomes detached. By acquiring knowledge of the material world, understanding that you're not this body, you're the spirit soul, and that helps you to become free from attachment to, you understand, why should I want wealth? Why should I want a beautiful wife? Why should I want a sense of enjoyment? Why should I want many followers? Na dhanam, na janam, na sundarim. So that kind of knowledge is helpful. And it is knowledge. It's worthwhile to understand the world and to understand things in its right place because it helps one not be misdirected. But also within those prayers, there is the expression of love of the devotees, and we can follow the different devotees in their different moods of love. They have different, like we were reading in the Brahma Samhita, by saying, what is it? They tell the mantra suktas by attaining their ornaments. Suktayameva. Which verse is it? It's number 36. Yad bhava bhavita diyo manujasta taiva samprapya rupa mahimasana yana bhushaha. Suktayameva nigama pratitaikstu vanti govinda mari purushang tamaham bhajami. So in the purport, he's saying that different men who are imbued with devotion sing the Vedic sukta, mantra suktas and gain their appropriate beauty, greatness, thrones, and ornaments. And Bhaktisiddhanta is saying here that the devotees surcharged with the ideas of their respective service serve Krishna eternally and ultimately reach the goal of their respective ideals according to their befitting their respective rasas. This is on page 60. And so when we hear the prayers of these different devotees, and we can follow in their devotional mood. By reciting those prayers, then we can imbue that mood of devotional service. So that when we see the prayers of Queen Kunti, the prayers of the gopis, the prayers of the wives of the brahmanas, and all these different things, when we understand and learn to live in those prayers, practically the Bhagavatam is full of prayers, and Lord Chaitanya loved to hear them over and over again. And when we learn to relish those prayers and the mood of those prayers, that's something better than knowledge. In fact, knowledge is just a byproduct of that pure devotion in those different rasas. Does that answer your question? Or?
Yeah, I was thinking mainly of the Gajendra and the crocodile. Can the analogy be drawn like Gajendra is the living entities and the crocodile is all the problems the living entities have in the world?
Yeah, the analogy can be... Of course, there was a real elephant and there was a real crocodile and Krishna came and he killed the crocodile, and the crocodile was also a devotee, was also someone who was had been cursed to, you know, was a Gandharva or something like that that came and became liberated by Krishna. I don't remember the whole story exactly. But yeah, we can identify with this elephant that, you know, even though he was in the heavenly planets and he was the king of the elephants and he had so many wives and so forth, that he became, you know, he was attacked and he was struggling and he was going to be defeated. And in the same way, the materialistic person, we're all our hopes and dreams for, you know, eternal dominion over the earth that materialistic people have are defeated. You know, Krishna defeats them. We have to get old and die, every one of us who can live more than 100 years or so. A lot of times we may be struggling to build some big enterprise, but if it's not related to Krishna, then what's the value of it? And, you know, some wealthy man amasses a big, huge, you know, amount of wealth, and then his children, you know, he wants to found a great dynasty and have, you know, thousands of years, even though he has to die. He expects his children to keep this enterprise going, but they fight among each other, or they're not really interested, or they want to do something else, and he feels defeated. There are different things that come and defeat. In material life, all our material plans will be defeated. And in that struggle of life, when we're finding that we're being defeated, if we can remember, like Gajendra did, remember Krishna and pray to Krishna feelingly and truthfully, according to the in the footsteps of the great devotees who show us how to pray to Krishna, then we can remember, we can be relieved from the miseries of life. Like Krishna says in the 12th chapter of Bhagavad Gita that for those who remember him, worship him, meditate on him with bhakti, he becomes the swift deliverer from the ocean of death. Mrityu sangsara vartmani bhavami nachurat partha maya veshita chetasa, because of their engaging their mind in him. So that's that example is being given in the real activity of Gajendra, that he was really distressed, like we are also distressed. And then by surrendering to Krishna, Krishna relieved him from his many sufferings like that. So, yeah, our situation is very much like Gajendra's situation, if we can come and offer something. I was thinking, in fact, I wrote the other day on some web, you know, that just like many devotees, we haven't gone on book distribution in a long time. We got involved in raising a family and a business and so many things. But we can pick up our book bags like picking up a lotus flower to offer to offer Krishna. We can pick up our book bags and go out on book distribution. Remember that this devotional service, it's not defeated. Sankirtan is life. There was an interview with Vaisheshika at Rathyatra in Los Angeles, and someone just published it on the internet. And he's just standing there for like 5 minutes, just saying, you know, Sankirtan is life, and without Sankirtan, there's nothing. And, you know, this beautiful little speech about going out on book distribution. And next weekend is our marathon. So this is a way we can realize that all our plans for happiness independent of Krishna will be defeated, are being defeated, they will be defeated. But if we just turn to remember Krishna, like Gajendra did in the lake there, where he's fighting with the crocodile, and not just to offer some prayers, but also he engaged some active service. What could he do? He was struggling with the crocodile, but still he was able to pick up a lotus flower with his trunk and make an offering. So we should also, you know, engage and make some offering, not just prayers, but also let's offer some practical service. And of course, just prayers are sufficient, but bhakti by its nature is active. Prabhupada describes that the root bhaj, the idea of worship, bhajate, is not just to adore inactively, but to actually engage in loving service. That's the way Prabhupada describes bhakti, devotional service. that one has devotion, and out of that devotion there's also deeds that come. So let's all be like Gajendras, and you know, even while we're being defeated in our material endeavors, if we don't, we can give up our material endeavors. Or anyway, we should know it's not very material endeavors are not very intelligent. But if we can dovetail our material endeavors, that's also pleasing Krishna. If we can do something with authorized by the spiritual master, that may seem outwardly just like someone's ordinary job or career or profession, that can also be devotional service or karma yoga, if we're being engaged in offering the results to Krishna. So, anyway, I'm going on a lot of different points. But the thing, the idea is, what do we get from those prayers? We get, the prayers are full of knowledge, especially in the Srimad Bhagavatam, it's the spotless Purana, and all the prayers are full of explaining things rightly and wrongly. And that's good for us. But also, more importantly, we get to see the moods of devotees and how Krishna exchanges moods with different devotees. And by seeing how the devotees offer prayers and what they say to Krishna, we learn to follow in those moods, follow in those footsteps. So we should all study these so many prayers. Who can think of prayers in the Srimad Bhagavatam or other prayers, you know, different famous prayers? Daksha offers prayers. It's just one chapter after another is prayers, right? They may be prayers or they may be instructions. The Yamadutas come and ask Yamaraj, why did the Vishnu Dutas stop us? And then Yamaraj gives the explanation of Krishna that's like prayers, but maybe not directly, you know, appealing to Krishna. But there are many. Do you have one?
Oh, I don't remember. But I mean, I remember some, but I was thinking about the ones in the 11th chapter of Bhagavad Gita that Arjuna's offering to Krishna.
Uh-huh.
Those are prayers in that chapter.
Yeah. Stane Rishikesha. You asked me one time, we were in Palo Alto, and you asked me about a verse about how the world becomes joyful upon hearing your name, and the demons run. Stane Rishikesha, Tava Prakirtya, Jagat Prahrishatyanu Rajyate Cha, Rakshang Sibhitani Disho Trivanti, Sarve Namasyanti Chasidha Sangha. All the perfected beings are offering prayers to when he's Krishna's displaying his universal form and Arjuna is seeing. But that's a beautiful, you know, that your glory is your name. When the world the world becomes joyful upon hearing your name, and all this is being rightly done. The demons are running in fear. And the perfected people are offering prayers. Sarve namasyanti chasita sangha. Okay, let's have Guru Puja Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai.